myself, you know, not with those two guys. It's, I understand this league changes and there's so many things that go into it and we're not gonna play forever, but you know, we've experienced so much together, and at the end of the day, like, again, I know they wanna win, I know I wanna win, and that's all I'm worried about.
Scope of podcast design, analyze the games that we love, headlines of music, and the movies we can't forget. I'm host Wendy Burns, by my counterpart Savon Morris. How's it going, man?
Going pretty good, man. Get on social media, see what it's his wives on. Going on.
What is everybody saying? Everybody's like, man, I'm loving the video. Look, man, I learned it from Savon's corner. I had to graduate to the next level. But we have a lot of topics to get into for this one. Obviously, some thoughts on the NCs on the play-in tournament. NBA playoffs is coming up this Saturday. Also have some album reviews, some diss tracks, some Rick Ross. A lot of responses from people. But you start off with thoughts on Golden State's early exit and kind of, you know, the end of their dynasty. Sacramento won 118-94. Keegan Murray had 32 points and De'Aaron Fox added 24 points. Klay Thompson missed all 10 shots from the field. And it's really interesting because the discourse after the game from the big three was with Steph, Draymond, and Klay. They were talking about them wanting to keep it together, them, you know, still loving the competitiveness of trying to get to that next level. But Sacramento, this team, we even talked about it. This was not as good of a team they were last year. This was a completely different team in terms of, if you look at last year's series, you can make a case, oh, Sacramento should have won that. But this one was like, man, Sacramento is nowhere near as good as they were last year. Mm-mm. And this feels like the end. This feels like the end for Golden State in terms of just like this current iteration of this big three. I really do think so, because I think we even saw Bob Myers leave early, and he was like, I don't think he wanted any part of like having to let one of these guys go. I mean, between Klay and Draymond. To you, what did you kind of think about this loss for Golden State, and also, you know, the future for them?
Well, we talked about it all throughout the season. This might be the last run, and you talked about it on the Wellington's Y Zone that. And we talked about it here on podcast that Steph Curry's prime years or after prime years are being ran up, and it's time to disband for sure. I'm on the Wellington Wise Zone bandwagon. This loss just showed that they don't have enough in the tank, and it's just not Steph Curry, because you look at the numbers between when he was really in his prime 2015 and now, the numbers are not different. They're very strikingly similar. So we know it's not Steph Curry. It's his surrounding factors. Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green. I never thought I would say this, but Klay Thompson, the supporting cast guys are not holding their weight for you to be one of the best shooters and one of the best two-way players in the NBA to go 0-for-10 in a playoff game to must win. The proof is in the pudding, as the his value went down after that game. Obviously, you know, you four-time champion, all these things, but you're not a guy I can build around. You're going to be a supporting cast guy. You're one of those veteran guys now that we're going to sit on the corner and let you shoot a little bit. We don't expect much from you. But that's another reason why I think he will stay, because he'll realize it's not much value out there for me. So I need to take a pay cut. I need to decrease my role, and then we can go from there. But I don't see anybody.
I just want to say they actually could end up back all together again next year. This actually could happen because of Klay being willing to take the pay cut.
Yeah, and I think that's the only way, because they already paid Draymond. So his contract is already set. Steph Curry's already set. They got to move some pieces around. But in my opinion, we feel like they should disband, but I don't think they love playing with each other, and they're so in tune and have that humility to say, hey, I'll take this pay cut. I'll do this to stay with this. I want to retire as a Warrior, which is fine and dandy, but if you guys don't make the other moves with a supporting cast, you got to ship Andrew Wiggins out. You got to get Kuminga out, get some pieces for him. You're going to have to start from scratch. If you're going to go around and keep the same three guys that you built this dynasty with, you're going to have to shop around and get some other players, or get lucky in a draft or something. So Yeah, Clay.
That was a rough one, man. That was a rough one to see. Just and my mind goes back to, I'm not gonna, you know, reiterate the past days as much, but that 2016 OKC game six, where I was just like, this guy couldn't miss. They were having to pour water on him, like, man, this is a flamethrower. And now it's just like, can't even make a shot. Like, that's just really the progression and iteration of an NBA run. That really is. That's just how it happens. Like I did mention earlier on the Y Zone special court. I didn't mention it though, but like Bulls, Lakers, Celtics, it all ended in a way where they didn't want it to end in a certain way. Like the Bulls, they never expected to disband the way they did. The Lakers, even the Heat, like after they got blown out by the Spurs, it's like, all right, I'm back in Cleveland. Like,
yeah,
we just gotta, you know, we're getting older, so. Man, that's so crazy to say. It's still, I know it happened, but it's just still like, I didn't expect them to lose that early in the play-in tournament. So,
I guess Perkins was right.
Oh, yes. Big Perk was right. And now moving on to the Lakers and Pelicans, play-in tournament game. LA won 110-106, clinching a playoff spot in the seventh seed. Zion Williamson left in, the last few minutes of the game after having 40 points and 11 rebounds. And man, when Zion was in there, one of the best Zion games
I've
ever seen. Like,
absolutely
crazy.
Absolutely.
Absolutely just a force the entire game, man. And what he was doing, I was telling a lot of people, like, when I was watching it, I was saying, like, if he hadn't gone out, I think they would have won it. I think the Pelicans would have won it, man. I really think they would have. And because AD didn't have that great of a game. A lot of supporting players weren't playing. Now, Rui Hachimura was playing well. Austin Reeves was, but I was like, it came down to the wire in a sense. And then when Zion left, it just was like, okay, LA's got it. But to you, what did you think about this win for the Lakers? And I think heading into this Nuggets series, because they say, we want all the smoke, we want the Nuggets, we want our lick back. And now they got it in the first round. what are your thoughts?
That's a hot take. I think even with Zion, I think they still would have lost. It's in the stars, man, for the Lakers to meet the Denver Nuggets. It was in the stars, man. Yeah, it was definitely destiny. But first and foremost, this is the Zion Williamson. Everybody, not just a specific group of people. I mean, everybody has been waiting for this Zion to step up and to show why he was so tough, why there were so media was on him heavy. And he showed glimpse, and then it's injury. There's something that's following him in his career that's hovering over him that won't let him be great. I don't know what it is, but this offseason, he got to shake that off and give us that same Zion Williamson we saw. To bounce back, to play them and get literally beat by 20 points and come back and to lose by 4 points for a play-in tournament, that's an extreme adjustment for not just Zion, for that whole squad. But, I mean, it's gonna be interesting for this for the Lakers.
I want to talk about this. I do want to say this with this Lakers Nuggets series, just to add context. If you look at that last Western Conference Finals in the sweep, every game was close. Every game was close, and I don't think it's gonna be the blowout that people are expecting, because I think the Lakers actually match up well with the Nuggets. I like the Nuggets for sure, but I think it's. This is the first series. We got to look back at it. This is the first series LeBron's playing with house money. Nobody is picking his team to win. And they're like, oh, LeBron can play a lot looser. If you think about the psychology of a LeBron series, it's like, okay, is there pressure? Because obviously he can handle pressure. But I'm saying this is the first one, I think, in a long time where he does not really have that many people expecting him to win.
No, that's a good point. And to add to that point, it's just, one, they have a chip on their shoulder. Two, they can go all out this series. Last year, they had to go through, you know, they had to go through the Warriors. They had to go through, I think the Heat, if I'm not mistaken. They had to go through a lot to get to the Denver Nuggets. And Denver Nuggets really just coasted that entire playoffs. So now they get to go head up. I think D-Russ is playing, but I think he's going to be the deciding factor. I think last postseason he averaged 3 or 4 points. If he can average that 16, 17 points, I think he's a difference maker. Like you said, I think they match up pretty well with him. And then I think LeBron James, that will say, okay, there's not that much pressure on me, really. And then it's just set up for them to go for distance. He has a player option. D-Russ has a player option this summer. There are a couple other guys who is going to move around. This is the opportunity. We don't know if LeBron's going to stay with the Lakers or not. What he's going to do, is he going to, you know, play another year and then get out? So there's a lot of implications for him in this Lakers team. I think it's they can go all out. Because after that, I don't see them like, well, okay, see, but it's I love the Lakers playing Denver Nuggets right off. And then Murray is still not 100% healthy. He's still playing, but he's not 100% healthy. So we got to watch that. But I think it's going to be a good series. It's going to go to 7 games. I got the Lakers. 7 games, bro.
I love Savon's corner is coming out the gates hot. I knew I was about to ask you, and then you start saying it. I was like, when he said how the series is going to go, like to 7, I was like, hey, he's going to beat the Lakers. There's no way he's going to beat the Nuggets. I got the Nuggets in 6. I'm going with the Nuggets in 6.
You got the Nuggets. Okay, that's not bad. You did put some respect on the Lakers' name.
I got to. Oh, yeah. Because yeah. People are saying like 4, sweep or 5. I'm like, no, that's not happening.
Nah, absolutely not. No, yeah. LeBron James has never been taken out the first round of the playoffs.
Man, this is going to be a good series. I'm looking forward to this one.
Absolutely.
And now getting to Philly's comeback win versus Miami. The 76ers won 105-104 after trailing by 14 in the second half. Nicholas Batum had huge 3-pointers in the second half, and Buddy Hield contributed as well. And obviously the big storyline of that game was Jimmy Butler going out. Not actually going out. He stayed in the game. But afterwards, it's revealed that he had the MCL injury. And that's huge when you look at the impact that Jimmy Butler has for Miami. Because, you know, playoff Jimmy, that was the mantra. That's been the mantra ever since he's been in the postseason making enough runs. And now that they're without him. Playing Chicago. Are they beating Chicago currently, or is it still?
It doesn't show me.
63-51. Okay, they're winning in third. So if they beat Chicago, they'll play at Boston. But to you, looking at that Philly win and another interesting first round matchup going against the Knicks, which I think is the Knicks still look really good to me. What are your overall thoughts on that Philly win?
Ooh, Joel Embiid's back.
He's back, man.
Maxie's playing phenomenal. That's it.
Yeah. That's kind of what you need. That's kind of the Sixers recipe.
We talked about this. If they can hold on until Embiid gets back, they're going to make a run. And they just got a blessing. They're playing the Knicks. Julius Randle is not going to be able to play. He's not going to be able to hold Embiid. I like Rick Mitchell Robinson, hometown kid. He's not going to do anything with Joel Embiid. It's so many mismatches in there. I think they can handle Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson is not going to beat them. Not in 7 games. They're going to have to worry about Joel Embiid. I don't think he can beat them by themselves. They're coming off a high, bro. Nobody expected him to get to this point without Joel Embiid. Because he was playing lights out before he got hurt. And then he came back. Maxie stepped up. That was my biggest one. I was like, he has to step up. Tobias Harris is whatever. He's just in the motions. But who's going to check Joel Embiid?
For sure. That's
I'm not confident in the Knicks. I'm not confident in their bench. The only player, and I'm not confident in Josh Hart's shooting ability from behind the arc anymore. Jalen Brunson's the only guy. We talked about Julius Randle being there. They have an opportunity. He's not there. I don't have no confidence in anybody else. I don't think Jalen Brunson can beat the Philly in 7 games. I just don't have the confidence. You look like you have the confidence,
Knicks,
but hey.
I believe in you. Sorry. Knicks, I'm like, Knicks in 7. I believe in this Knicks team. Man.
Absolutely.
I believe
in this Knicks team. Bro.
And I'm so glad me and Savon are like disagreeing with playoff picks. It's always interesting to see like who's right and who's wrong after the first round of the playoffs. Like,
yeah,
I got the
versus Savon's quarter.
We gotta do it right. It's the first.
I didn't choose this. I didn't choose Savon's quarter, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. It was gifted to me by a good friend named Wellington.
People were like, "Did you come up with that on your?"
Absolutely. Yeah, because when you first said, I was like, "What? Savon's what?"
But I do think that's a great point that you mentioned, though, because Joel Embiid, the impact that he's going to have in this series is going to be, like, the biggest the biggest X factor, honestly, because he just has the type of ability to take over an entire playoff game, and I think he's gonna have some great performances. But I got some questions in terms of like when he's a big like him coming back off of an injury. It's like, is he still gonna be that Joel Embiid like that we're used to, or is there gonna be some games where he's like a little winded? I think he's gonna have a couple games where he's just like 40 plus, like, okay, Embiid's dominant. But I think over time, the Knicks are going to be like, all right, when Embiid's not clicking, Maxey's going to have to show that he can be that guy. Tobias Harris, who we know is inconsistent. Tobias Harris is very inconsistent, and he can have some cold games. So I think that the Knicks know that if it's not Embiid, which is a big if, and Maxey's doing what he's doing, somebody else has to click as well. So,
bro, I think, who on the Knicks is scary besides Jalen Brunson?
You don't think OG Anunoby is going to have an impact as well for the Knicks?
No.
I mean, he's...
Because he's going to have to hold. He's going to be him and Isaiah, whatever his name, they're going to have to switch swap on Joel Embiid.
That's
they're going to be gassed.
So you're kind of betting on them being winded, and that's what's going to, like, completely wear them
They
down.
Don't shoot well, bro.
That's true.
They don't like. I'm not going big. Like, I hate the Knicks. It's just without Julius Randle.
Yeah. You would have picked the Knicks if Julius Randle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. He would.
Absolutely, because he can bang with Joel Embiid.
Oh yeah.
And they'll be going back and forth. Yes. And then now Mitchell Robinson can worry about rebounding.
Yes.
So the roles kind of change, because if you put Mitch on him, he's gonna take him out. He's going to be either, 19, 20 feet away. He's not going to be effective at a rebound, which Mitchell Robinson is a great rebounder in a blocker. So you take him out of the paint.
Yes.
He's not effective. So it's just, that's what I'm looking at. And then Jalen, the only player I'm confident in is Jalen Brunson, who showed that he can do those things. But yeah, I don't have them winning. It's going to be a tight series. I'm not saying they're going to get blown out or swept or anything. It's going to be a tight series, but I just don't think they make it out.
So you would say like Sixers and six?
I don't know just yet. Because now Joel Embiid is questionable for game one. So
that's what I'm saying. Wellington.
No, it's not. He's questionable because he's hurt. They're trying to recover.
You have to think about that, though, because when it's just like when you got a player coming back in, if this is the Joel Embiid that we saw at the beginning of the season, and it's like there's no doubt about him being who he is. But the fact that when you're coming off of an injury, though, you got to think, especially for a big, there's going to be some games where they're like, okay, how is he actually going to fully be? We see with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is like, if one time he goes down, the whole world is just like, oh, LA world is like, what's going to happen? So that's kind of the X factor. But as we've said, Joel Embiid, he's going to be the biggest impact player in this series, without a doubt. And Jalen Brunson is going to do what Jalen Brunson is going to do. I got trust in the Villanova guys. I got trust in the Villanova guys. Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah.
You don't even like Dante DiVincenzo.
I don't.
And now moving on to our most intriguing first round matchup. Clippers Mavericks, man, I think it's going to be blockbuster. I think that
Clippers
series.
Clear,
I think that series Mavericks. It's going to be a blockbuster series, man. Because when we look at Kyrie and Luka just clicking on all cylinders, and then the Clippers might be the most talented Clippers team we've ever seen. Now, what that actually means, though, we know on paper. This is an on-paper Clippers team for sure. But I think this is going to go fully seven. I'm going to go with the Clippers because I do think this team can, when they're offensively, I think they have so many options. And sometimes the Mavericks, like we say, defensively, it's like, okay, what are the Mavericks going to show? They improved defensively in the regular season, but the postseason, that's a completely different, completely different zone. Because they, at some point this season, have given up a lot of points. I think that might continue for this one. But to you, like, what's your most intriguing first round matchup?
Well, we already talked about it.
Lakers, man. Nuggets, right?
Nuggets and the Lakers. That's the most intriguing one. We got the AD response before the season started. We got, they've been beat twice in the postseason by the Nuggets. LeBron James, it's going against LeBron James. The Nuggets is still one of the favorites, even with OKC being the number one seed. Like, there's so much there that you just can't like take your eyes off of it. You gotta be.
Yeah. This is the Serbian barbecue chicken deluxe. You got some coleslaw on the side. You got some baked beans. You got some two butter rolls and got some sweet tea. And this is gonna be one of those like just complete entrees. This is gonna be a complete entree from game one to game whatever. Y'all don't need to miss one game of this. Even if you're at work, just slip it on the site. Stream it. Sling YouTube TV. Just stream. Well, like, what you looking at? I'm just trying to tie my shoes. Any answer? Nuggets, Lakers, man. That's a great pick. That's a great pick.
Oh, my goodness, man.
I'm going to tell you another thing. Mike Malone, I will never forget how angry he was after LeBron stole the Thunder after that series. He said, man, LeBron just made it about himself. Because he said after the game, like, I don't know if I'm going to come back, man. Like, this might be, this, you know, I don't know how many years I'm going to play. And everybody stopped talking about the Nuggets winning and just said, Is this LeBron's last year? LeBron can like change the projection of what's talked about post game so quickly. And the Nuggets were so they're like, ain't no way you're still making it about you after we just swept you in the Western Conference Finals. But that's the power of LeBron.
But that's I love you say that. He didn't make it about himself. He's just LeBron saying the truth. The media made it about it because that's the media.
Yeah. The media is gonna media.
Oh, for sure. Many things for certain, for sure. Media is going to media.
Definitely. Another thing, though, we always do is kind of like talk about which player has the most to prove in the postseason. And I think, as clear as it is night and day, Jason Tatum. To me, it's Jason Tatum, man. This is the playoff I think Jason Tatum really has to show he's that guy. I think he has to. I think we've seen so many years, Eastern Conference Finals, made a finals appearance 2022, you know, had the 2-1 lead, blew it. But I think this one is like, if you're going to win it, this is the year to win it. And he really has to be in a takeover mode, I think, from the jump. And especially when you've got a crippled, you know, a not fully healthy Miami team that has given them fits. I think they got to just from the jump show they are the number one top dog in the East. Like, to you, which player do you think has the most improved this postseason?
It's definitely Jason Tatum. And then I think Shea.
Ooh, I can't wait to see.
Number one seed. Shannon Sharp said they were the worst number one seed. Well, I thought it was bonkers when he said that. But people don't think they belong there, even though they worked their butt off to get there. I think Shea has the most approved, like, we belong here. We don't care if we have the Pelicans or the Kings. We're going to handle business, and we're gonna get to the conference championship. We're gonna get there, and I think they can. They have every implication to get there. They have the bench. They have the young players. They play great. And then Shea is the guy. I think he even put some respect on his name. And I think this is his opportunity to solidify. Hey, who's gonna be the face of NBA when LeBron goes? There's a lot of people. We talked about Anthony Edwards. I think Shea can be able to do that. I don't think Luke can be the face of it because he's not a two-way player. But there are guys out here who can be the face of the NBA. He's one of those guys. Let's stamp that now because we're going to need new blood. And then obviously John Morant is another guy who can be the face of the NBA. But he has that to prove. I think if he proves himself, he gets to the conference championship, I think people will be like, okay, they belong here. They should have been in the number one seed. They deserve that.
Oh, for sure, man. I think OKC has – they're so motivated. they hear the chatter. Because these guys all keep up with different clips and different shows that talk about them on a regular basis. And I think they know that it's like, man, this is – everyone is saying that, oh, they're not that good of a one seed. They haven't been there before. But I want to say this. The one team that made the NBA Finals that had an average age of 25 was the 74 Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. So it shows you how hard it is to, like, make a deep run when you're that young. But this team, I think, is – like you said, they might be the new Warriors. You know, in a few years, we might look back at this and be like, oh, this was the start of something. So I definitely think they're that team that is going to be motivated. And now getting to kind of the WNBA draft takeaways. It's interesting because each headline kind of has a different in terms of the duo. The duo has kind of been the center of things with Camila Cardoso and Angela Reese being in Chicago now. Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Bonds, Boston and Indiana, then finally Cameron Brink and Rekaya Jackson in Los Angeles. Is there any particular duo newly formed for the WNBA that you think like might be kind of like the most formidable? Because I know Andrew Reese said, you know, she feels as though a lot of people are going to really struggle out rebounding them or even trying to be dominant in the paint because of the formula now that Chicago has.
I think that is the, and I was intrigued by they got both of them.
Yes.
Because they're similar players, obviously. I do think Camilla has a better bag, not too much from, but maybe we see Angel Reese released a little bit and get out to the wing or something. Maybe she can play the three instead of playing, you know, the four or the five. Maybe they'll switch up some roles. And having both of them on this court, one of them going to have to, I don't want them four and five. One of them going to have to play the three. One's going to have to play the wing and kind of develop their game a little more. But I do think I like that duo out of all of them. Obviously, we know Caitlin Clark is going to go number one to the Fever, and everybody, you know, jerseys are already sold out for her. But that's the best duo because those two have been playing against each other since high school. You know, it wasn't really bad blood, but just competitive nature throughout, you know, March Madness, throughout all these things. So for them to be teammates, kind of bury the hatchet, like it was only, it's outside of basketball, we're good. And I think that's why, I think it was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure they really talked to both of them. We're not just going to draft both of these if you guys have. But I do think they're the best duo because they're going to rebound. They're going to play good defense. They're going to pick and roll is going to be good. But I want them to develop more of creating their own shot to be able to be not just good in the WNBA, but great. That's the difference between there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, look, we had mentioned it last episode. I mentioned to you the Jontay Porter thing and how that was going. Lifetime ban. Lifetime ban, man. It wasn't just one of those. and they should have. Absolutely. Because that is just one of the dumbest moves I have ever seen an NBA player make, bro. Like, what in the world did you, the trail of, I mean, you got got the FBI involved, the U.S. Department of Justice, and like, it's, bro, a paper trail on you, like, and you just didn't think it was gonna come out. Like, that's insane.
Figure like you're sick to not play, you know, as well.
Of all injuries, an eye injury, like.
Yeah.
What great call. Did you have yesterday? Man, it's eye, bro. It's eye. It's
killing. Yeah, man. I think it's peak eye.
Man. One of the wildest stories. I mean, there's really nothing much to say about, he's caught. The world knows that.
But he just made history. It's not that many people that are life banned from the NBA.
Yeah.
And he made them. He always will be, hey, bro, ain't you the guy that got
Shane guy after at least.
Yeah, he goes to the barbershop. Hey, damn, you bet on yourself? I guess, hey, but you got to bet on yourself, bro. That's what they used to tell us. That's what they used to tell us, man. Bet on yourself. Don't wait for nobody to. Nah, that's the wrong. Bet on yourself, buddy.
That's not the Fred Van Bleek bet on yourself. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. And now we're getting to our music reviews. Let's start off with our first one. The review, the diss that Savon never thought was coming, but it finally came. Drake's push-ups. I tried to tell him. I was like, the guy's competitive. The guy's competitive.
No, you said it. You said it. You said it. You absolutely, man, said it.
From the jump, take shots at Future. Goes at Metro. Goes at Kendrick. This is some crazy distance, man. Goes at Kendrick's shoe size. mentions the Whitney bodyguard line. Man, I'm telling you, like, from the jump, like, didn't even wait to set up. This was no set. This is what I call a no huddle offense diss. Like, he's like, nah, we're not even looking at the side. We're like, we are going.
Can you say that one more time for me?
No huddle offense. This was a no huddle.
Solid, bro. Solid, bro.
The jump, man. But what were kind of your takeaways of it? I know you listened to it several times, and just kind of what were your initial thoughts?
No huddle. Yo. Yes. Yeah. rushed in first quarter. Yes, absolutely. As soon as it comes on, the beat is bonkers. His beats are just probably somewhere in the vault. I don't know if they made it off the cusp, or they just had beats like just in case special beats, so bro. Special. It's man, it's crazy, and then it's catchy within it. Extreme bars, bro. It's like
you know we were gonna be saying.
How do you do that?
How do you still come up?
There's not many diss tracks that are catchy that you're going to remember things from. Life. Yeah, man. Bad to bad. Hey, man. And then Kendrick hasn't dropped yet. So, yo, this is probably this diss is better than all of the diss, all the subliminals he's ever done. Like even Charged Up back to back, summer 16. This outdoes it all. Because one, he takes out a lot of people, and they're just not like bars. Every bar in this is heavy.
Feel it.
Oh my goodness! And they say Kendrick,
what's this, a 20 versus one? What's this, a 20 versus?
Oh,
he said, I'm going to kill Bill.
Bro,
and Uma Thurman actually reposted the Jack said, you need this.
Yes, that so bro. Fire. That was crazy fire. And then you tell Metro, shut up and make beats. And then he's like mariachi band and he's marching bands. Like, oh my goodness. Because
it's like, if you're Metro, you're like, I can't say anything. Because it's like, that's all I can do. Like, I can't rap.
I'm hoping other people, you know, fight for me because Kendrick literally fought for you. They Future, no, he cannot out-rap Drake. Absolutely not. But as a producer, like, you really, he was baking on Kendrick to, you know, to mop him up. Yeah, and I don't understand why. Now we know that was AI.
What did you think about that? Because that was We first thought it was real. It sounded like Kendrick. Like,
yeah, it sounded the setups and everything. I don't know if that's I read the article that Complex did in the guy and saying that he was just AI is taking away from things because that really sounded like Kendrick. And I was so I text y'all, I was like, hey bro.
Hide your Glock when you see K Dot. I was, oh man.
Cole got killed.
AI kill Cole.
and maybe that's the reason why Kendrick has not dropped. Because if he drops something and it's not as good as that, I started thinking about that. I was like, oh, it gotta be, and it can't be AI. And then I found out, I was like, if he can't drop anything that's better than what they created AI, because that was fire.
Yeah.
That was fire. I thought, like, that sounds like...
I was really listening to that so many times.
I'm yeah. Like, here we go. Setup here we and go. Everything. I'm like, man, that's uncanny. I was like, oh, yeah, that's definitely K-Dot. Because he would say exactly that.
And those things. Like, that's the whole... the cadence, the everything. Like, the setups. Like, it was almost identical, bro. Like, that's so wild.
Bro, he just took it. That dude, if K-Dot does not respond, we got to ban him. That dude. Who ruined it? Because it's similar. It's to me. It's like the 8 Mile. You know, mm-hmm. at the last battle, he said everything he was going to say. What if the AI thing? How can you outdo that? Because that's K-Dot's good, but that was really good. How do you top that?
And there's another two things I want to get to. First off, I think I've never seen Drake want somebody to respond this much. It's so like he bad. Wants Kendrick. He's like. Please respond.
Everybody's talking.
I have one more. I've got another diss coming for you. Like, have you ever seen Drake really want somebody to respond this much? I haven't. I don't think I ever have. Meek for sure. Yeah, Meek for sure. But
he was like the audacity. He's like, oh, you're not gonna drop? Bad, bad. He killed him. He didn't get off the start of block shit. And then when he responded, I was like, yeah, pooey. Pooey. You got it's 2-0 already, bro. It's hard to come back from that. And then he dropped Summertime, bro. Oh my goodness. He wants this has been boiling up for a while. He's like, bro, if you got something that you've been holding, drop it. I want to see how good you think you really are. Because we know Drake is good.
I mean, Lupe Fiasco said he thinks Drake is a better rapper than Kendrick.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Bro, because if Drake really want to do, I mean, well, I said it, they both can do the same thing, but I think if Drake really want to do this type of rap that Kendrick can do, I think he'd do it better. He's just that talented, bro. But
He's the guy. He's still the guy. He showed on Saturday, like, I'm still the guy. Like, I don't know what y'all were thinking, but like, I'm still him. Like, that's really what my takeaway was. It's like, Drake really is still the guy, man. That's nuts. Never going to forget that diss. That push-ups is crazy.
You know what's crazy? They always say Drake hits subliminals. You don't want Drake to give you his full undivided attention.
Oh, no.
He got time right now. Yeah. Like, his attention is
and a technician, too, like a strategist. You never want to give a strategist time. Somebody who's like an ultimate thinker.
You want him to be subliminal.
Yes.
You don't want him to stop what he's doing and be like, oh, I got time. Kendrick, you better drop, brother.
And the rumor is that Kendrick, he's been in New York the last couple months. The rumor is that he's coming out with an album in May. Not saying that's what's going to happen, but Maul from the New Roy and Maul podcast said they heard that Kendrick's coming out with the album. I don't know if like is that really the build up though? Because I feel as though Kendrick's got to respond to this diss first though.
Yes,
there's no way. Yeah, there's no way you can just like, oh, forget that. I'm just gonna do the album. Like, you gotta respond to this. I think Kendrick knows that.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate what he's doing, but yeah. I think that's the AI thing kind of messed that up.
I really think he did. Yeah, that part, because I think they probably were going to respond this week, but then that was like, okay, the attention, the AI is getting attention.
Mm-hmm. And now we got to figure out another way to release a track. Yeah.
Well, somebody else wanted to join the party, Mr. Ricky Rose, Champagne Moments. I mean, and the thing was with Rick, for sure, definitely sleepy. I know a lot of people are crediting it and saying, you know, laughing at him calling Drake a white boy, he said he got a nose job and this and that, talking about the money thing. This is what takes away from the intrigue of the main, like I said, the 12-round prize fight we all care about.
Yeah.
We got to deal with Rick Ross talking about what he's talking about, Champagne Moments. And the Ghost Rider and saying, oh, Yachty writes for you. And this, that, whatever. To me, it wasn't as intriguing as people say it was. It sounded like the same Rick Ross flow I've heard a million times. I've heard him do this much better than what he did. So it's like, okay, cool. You're the undercard fight. Like, I can go to the kitchen, get some wings, and I'm not really going to be watching it. Cool. I'll turn the TV
on. Bro, your analogies today, man. I'm not. Hey, you know what? I re-listened to the same. What would I say? Wellington, did you have Starbucks?
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
I keep re-listening to it. I'm like, that's so funny. That's so funny, man. But nah,
Reese hit me up, said, man, you went in, Uncle.
Absolutely. Let me shut up. Let you go in, bro. Talk your talk. This is absolutely what hip-hop needs to hear. Jeez. But yes, you in the undercard, Ricky Rowe, your music is not, you have a couple songs that are timeless.
Yeah, a couple.
You don't have albums.
Some of them are with Drake. Some of them are with Drake.
Absolutely. Your best song was Aston Martin Music. And Drake's on the hook. And his verse is better than your verse.
I told somebody that. I said, bro, if Drake isn't on Aston Martin Music, it's not that memorable. They were like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm telling you. That hook that Drake has and the verse he has, oh, that's next level.
Shout out to Chrisette Michelle. She sung her butt off, but Drake's part is what you were. Bro, come on. That's what you remember.
Taking me back to like 2010.
Yes, absolutely. I remember when that first came out. I was like, oh. I mean, Rick Ross' voice is perfect for the beat. Like, bro, come on, though.
Yeah.
But most of the tracks, even like Stay Scheming, bro.
That's why Drake is really looking at you guys like, you guys really forgot I've been doing all this for you, like, for 15 plus years.
And then he praised Rose several times. Like, if anybody sends me something back, I know it's going to be good, it's Rose.
Yeah.
And then, like, bro, why are you jumping into this?
And then I saw some interesting footage today. Rick Ross driving in his car. You know what he's listening to? Drake's push-ups. He's like, I can't deny. He's like, it's fine. He's like, I can't deny it.
He's one of those uncles that's just still trying to be hip. You fit, bro. Go tend to your garden or your goats.
It's cool. It's cool. Bro. I kind of like it. I kind of rock with it.
No, yours was baby boo.
So to all of you who are saying Rick Ross made the better diss, I really need y'all to like re-listen to what y'all just say because he did.
Wise up.
He's wise.
Bro, he was literally doing spoken word on a beat, bro.
He was trying to keep up with the beat. It's like running by.
I was like, man.
So I can't keep up.
You could have picked a better beat than this. I'd rather you put a slow beat in and just go crazy. You did not go crazy. You were sane on that beat, brother.
They're like, oh, I'm so impressed with how quick he responded. I'm like, you didn't need to respond that quick. You didn't need to respond.
No, you didn't think about that. White boy, like, bro, this is.
Man.
You didn't out-rap him.
Nope.
You can't talk about the numbers.
No, nobody's going to be playing that this weekend. They're going to be playing push-ups.
Nobody's going to. I haven't even retouched that.
I look at the cover art. I'm like, waste of time.
Matter of fact, I didn't even finish it. When he dropped the VO, like after he stopped rapping, he dropped like the voiceover stuff. I was like, okay.
You know what's so funny though? The guy from the New Rory Mall podcast Mall, he was talking to Drake about it and he asked him what he thought about it. And Drake said, I didn't even he said as soon as he said he's richer than me, I turned it on. Imagine Drake listening to that. He's like, wait, what? No.
What? But then talking about, oh, they took it out of context. He was trying to act like, sound like Drake or whatever. It's still boo-boo.
I don't even care. Y'all can add all the context y'all want to it. No, like
we turn that off. Lines he gave Rick Ross was better than the entire Rick Ross diss, bro.
Yeah,
man, that's wild. Ricky Rowe, I still like you, man. But
I still like Ross. I still
you
like
gotta
Ross.
Sit down. You ain't you. You not really good in battles. And this stuff, yeah.
You got it. Do you have a top five diss rappers like list, like the like your all time top five guys who are like, man, these are the top. Like,
I just re-listened to Ether.
Oh yeah, man.
Boy, that's number one.
Sure.
No Vaseline is cool. That's probably like two or three. Oh, but Ether?
But Ether's crazy though.
Bro, he going in. He made me. I'm a bash fish. That boy going in. But hey, listen, brother. Nas is that guy.
He really is. And I want to say this. I want to say this, bro. Because we love hip hop. And mm-hmm. today is a special day because it's the 30-year anniversary of Illmatic.
Illmatic.
That is a timeless. I'm going to tell you what, all I'm going to be listening to the rest of the night is Illmatic because that is a classic staple in hip hop, bro. Chef's kiss. If you want to know what hip hop is and what some of the grassroots of it, go listen to that album because that 10, no need to extend it. It's a masterpiece.
Hooks good, verses so good. Just. And then Jay-Z thought he was messing with Nas. He went in on Jay-Z, man. But yeah, man. Yeah, Ether's definitely number one. You can listen to this anywhere.
Dog. It's so It just gives you that. You like walking in the park in New York.
He was talking that about feel, man. You taking people's identities. You try to be this. Like, bro. Like, yo. Ether is mad crazy.
It's mad crazy.
Ether's number one diss. Hands down. No Vaseline is like two or three. For sure.
Gotta put Hit Him Up in there for sure.
I'm not putting Hit Him Up because he needed help writing that.
Oh, yeah. I do. That is fair. Yeah.
Mm-mm. It ain't top five no more. After we found somebody wrote most of that for him. Mm-mm. If you're going to dish somebody, you got to write the whole thing.
And I also feel a certain way that there were like features, like having features on a disc, like when you're, that's kind of, I don't want to be blasphemous too. Cause I mean,
blasphemy. We're going to say what we're going to say. This is,
it was a moment. Scope. Hit Him Up was a moment. But when you got other people, yeah, for sure. When you got other people on there, It takes it down a few notches, man. Takes it down.
Yeah. Mm-mm. It's not top five. You can cut this up. Hit Him Up. It's not top five diss track. One, somebody helped them write it. Two, he had other people on the track. Three, if you're going to be in a diss, if you're going to be in a battle, it's one-on-one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mano y mano. Mano y mano.
And Biggie's still a
better rapper. Can't bring three other guys in the ring. Like, yeah, let's beat him up.
Yeah, let's jump him. Yeah. 20 versus one.
All right. It's a 20 versus one. Jake's right.
It's wild, man.
Man. And now getting to our next review with Future Metro Boomin's, we still don't trust you. Still all caps. this was more of a like an R&B album feel, because I remember like back in 2017 Future released Hendrix. And I don't know, sometimes, man, I like R&B Future more than rap Future sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It kind of goes for me, and I think this is the album that way too long, I'll say, started off way too long, but I think there were more standout tracks in this one than the first one, because the first one I don't really ever revisit unless it's the like that track. Like That is just, come on, Like That is still a vibe. It's still a vibe. But to you, kind of, what were your takeaways of this album? And then The Weeknd and A$AP Rocky, they had a diss Drake before they knew that Push Up was gonna drop.
A$AP, I see why you don't. Yeah, those
are weekity week.
Who cares? Hey, bro. And The Weeknd, it's so weird for R&B people to sing and try to diss about it. Boy, we wouldn't even know of you if it wasn't for Drake. Yeah. What are you talking about? I'm glad I didn't sell. Like, bruh, we know of you because of Drake. Don't get it to. I don't like your music. I'm not a fan of The Weeknd. I feel like he be crying. Shut up. But this was better than the first one, for sure. Definitely too long. I got in the middle.
It's got some revisit though. It's got some tracks to revisit though.
Oh, for sure.
Like Drinking Dance, Amazing Interlude, All to Myself. Nights like this is, I think it's gonna go down as one of like Future's like most replayed songs.
Wait, I feel a lot of people gonna replay. Nights like this. I don't even see that. Oh, maybe that's the one I didn't listen to fully. I had to go back and listen to it.
But when you start an album off with an 80s synth pop feel. When you start an album with an 80s synth pop feel, I wanna say this because I like that type of vibe. I was like,
yes, you do.
Okay. That's my bag. I'm sorry, man. He got me from the jump. I was like, uh-oh, this is a lot better than the first one. Because the first one I was not feeling. This one I was like, all right, I grew this late night ride. I got somebody on my mind, you know.
that's the way to key to Wellington's hearts, ladies.
Yes, yes.
80s vibes, baby.
80s vibes.
you got to be godly though. Don't be coming up here talking to my boy talking about you like 80s. No, we like Jesus in the 80s.
Yeah, Jesus in the 80s. You got to be at church on Sunday too. Yeah, I got to see your church. Front row.
front row. Yeah. That's wild. Yeah. You in the back, Willis. You know that, right?
No. But I gotta see, hey, is she serious? Is she serious? Listeners, this is how me and Save Our Run. But yeah, I'll say, I feel as though we both kind of think this one better than the first.
Way better.
This one's better than the first, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think him and Metro, like Future and Metro, it seems like it's kind of crazy, because a lot of times we don't really have artists consistently going to producers as much. I think Future and Metro, like, they're just ones that they're gonna stick around for each other for like a while. Yeah. I think they just kind of, Metro knows what Future likes to rap or sing over.
Yeah, they've been around each other for a long time, so that relationship, they really got a strong relationship. So yeah, that's the yeah. I think he get most of his beats from Metro anyways. But yeah, they got a good duo. And I like the features on here besides The Weeknd. He was on there way too much. But now I do think this is
a lot.
Yeah, which is a surprise. I was like, he does sound like he's from the 80s though. His music sounds like, you know, that voice he has.
Non-FM.
Yeah.
Steve wants to say so much about that album. He's like, don't even mention it.
Nah, this is way better. Way better than the first one. Because if it wasn't for Like That, we would not be talking about it.
And I love how you reiterate that point, because that is very true. That would be a forgettable album without Like That.
Will not revisit it.
For sure. And now getting to Kyle's Smile Again album. In this new project, you know, it's got a lot of different sounds, and it has a Tizo Touchdown feature. And it's interesting because this was, you know, had a lot of upbeat tracks with it, had some pop feels. Overall, I thought it was a solid album. I think he knows what feature, especially when you have a Tizo Touchdown feature, I feel as though you have to have a certain sound and cadence with your music. We even mentioned, like, you've kind of warmed up to Tizo Touchdown's music a little more listening to him. What were kind of your overall takeaways from this project?
Man, I liked this project. Like, I really, really enjoyed it. Like, I think for a lot of people, including me, like, I didn't really take Kyle serious when it comes to music because he's always playful. And then I didn't know of him until I watched the movie on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. I did not know of him until I was like, who is this dude? Like, he can rap, but like, who is it? And then I realized, oh, he's actually a rapper. And then I started listening to the song I listened to with Lil Yachty. Hi. I Spy. That's the song. Okay.
Yes.
And then you really listen to his music. Boy can really rap. Boy can really get in the zone. That's his lane. Him being playful, him having those up-tempo Washcon beats. But yeah, I really enjoyed this album. The Tizo Touchdown is on repeat. That song is on repeat. I think they really, really gelled together. And that shows you how good Kyle is, because Tizo is in a pocket that a lot of rappers can't get to. Even if Tizo has his own style and alternative rap, but I think they gelled really well. And then, yeah, concise 13 songs.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah,
really enjoyed this. Yeah. Kyle is slowly but surely getting back into my library, and I'm starting to listen to him more.
I really this is a solid project, man. And I like love the song total, the song output, 13 songs. Works right within the wheelhouse, and I think this is one where he can sometimes when you have artists that you're like, you're kind of on the fence about, but I think he's one where we're actually starting to see what his overall output's going to be, like what's his comfort zone. I think he's getting into his comfort zone, honestly. He's really kind of filling in that role, and this one was definitely an evidence of that. But now getting to our last review, Haley Knox's 11th Hour. Man, she's an artist. I actually found out on Instagram because she was rapping to Conductor Williams' Stories About My Brother, the track off of Scary Hours 3. And this track over here I really like, because, first of all, it kind of feels like a good standalone track. She's had a couple EPs in the last few years, and I think this is a really like solid, replayable type of tune. She's got the right pitch and sound for a track like this as well. I think some of her other songs, it doesn't feel as though like she's in the right wheelhouse, but I think this one is a good standalone track. What did you kind of think about this one?
No, excellent point. All the other music really just, I think these two songs were really good. They were really like, you know, slow. So she could really like, you know, sink her teeth into it and just take her time. Cause that's, I think her voice is made for that. Yeah. Made for like slow tracks, more angelic.
It's a very certain. It's a very like precise type of thing you got to, you know.
She has a distinguished sound.
Yes. That's the right way to put it.
Which is cool. But all your music don't sound the same, which I don't think that's a good thing. If you're going to have a distinguished sound, all of it has to sound the same. And like you just said, that was excellent. As soon as you said, I was like, yeah, because I went back and listened to like a couple of other tracks on her top track list. And I'm like, is this the same female? It's the same girl?
Yeah. It makes me wonder.
Like, yeah. So, I do think these were dope. Yeah, they were dope. I'd rather he listen to him in a full project. Even though this is low key, it's not an EP.
Yeah.
This is considered singles. But I don't think these are single songs to me. That's just me. I would rather listen to this This is like Sabrina Claudio. Claudio.
Yes, I love
listen
it.
To hers entirety. Like, it's so many vibes. Like, I like her albums more than I like her singles because now I can it just flow into each other. But I think I would like her these two songs better in the album.
This was her over the stories about my brother, Conductor Williams. Took a couple months away from the internet. Forgot who I was, I lost my innocence. Question my career, almost pivoted. It's not about singing no more, it's really about fitting.
I don't like how they master her stuff.
Yeah.
The beat is back here.
It's like, yeah.
And she's up here. And I think
that was her on it. That was her on Instagram, just, yeah.
Oh, just talking?
Yeah, just talking. Yeah, she was just outside.
Outside. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
okay.
You're just going over it, yeah.
Yeah, I would rather have, she's the type of voice that needs more verb, more angelic verb, sure. Like Janae's, because she got a lot of verb on her stuff, even though Janae can really sing. But the reason why I feel like I like Janae so much is because how they mix and master her stuff. Because I think Joe Budden, it was right in a certain sense, and I hate to say his name because why is he even...
Yeah, we're going to have to deal with him. He's going to be around a lot. He's always going to give his takes.
Yeah. But some of his stuff do sound the same.
He is right. Yeah, he is right.
Yeah, some of his stuff sound the same, but it's the listenability of it. Because one, how they mix and master and how her voice just goes well with verb and with auto-tunes and with just like the airiness of it. Like, I don't know. It's just that aesthetic that Janae has created throughout her career that you, as soon as you a song comes on, oh, I know that's Janae. So, but maybe she needs to adopt her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I do want to say, you mentioned Joe, so I have to mention something I saw about him yesterday. So, he talks about Kendrick and Drake, and he says, you know, Kendrick to me is the bar fest guy. Drake is like Disney Thanos. I haven't really seen him like rap impressively in the last few years. I was like, Joe, have you been listening to? I know you guys have beef. I know you have a personal beef with him, but you have a public platform. Like, let's be a little more responsible with what we're talking about. Kendrick's the bar fest guy, and Drake's Disney Thanos. Like, what?
That doesn't make sense.
I replayed that clip so many times just trying to understand it. I was listening to it. I was like, wait, hold up. I got to watch this clip. I got to watch this. There ain't no way he said that.
Who deemed Joe Budden? He's not out of Slaughterhouse. He's not even the best rapper.
Imagine, like Drake said, imagine getting validation from an ex-musician searching for recognition.
Bro, out of the Slaughterhouse, you're the last. Ortiz no, definitely rap better than you.
Oh, for sure.
Royce rap better than you. Royce is a killer.
Royce is a killer.
That's out of
killer.
The Slaughterhouse, bro, you are a lash, my guy. Who is giving him the head nod?
Nah, but his co-host checking. They're like, yo, you're talking. The thing I was glad about his co-host said, nah, you crazy for that one. And I was like, good. Y'all need to check in for that one because he's. You know, he was like, nah, man, y'all so sensitive when it comes to, y'all just think everything. No. I say, well, no, like, bro, no,
First and foremost, what gives your supporting cast to the credentials to talk music?
I didn't look through all y'all credentials.
Have any of y'all developed artists?
I will say this about Parks, the producing guy. Now, he's got hip-hop production for DJ Premier, Nas, Drake.
Come on, the white guy.
Yeah, now he's a credit. He's in that space. But the other ones, I'm like, yeah, y'all don't have those credentials.
That's wild, bro. If you're not an A&R, if you're not.
When I saw that clip, I immediately thought, I was like, I wonder what Savon's gonna think about this.
Bro, like every time I see Joe Budden, I just swipe up, bro. Like, you had one hit. You and Slaughterhouse didn't drop stuff, and you got out rapped every song with Slaughterhouse. The people you have on your podcast have no music credentials at all. No A&R, no developed artists. Didn't put nobody on the map. Now, not Jazzy Faye.
Yeah, his last, Rory and Maul did. But these guys, they don't. These guys.
Okay. Tell me something.
Now, Rory, the guy who made the, that R&B album that we really liked last year.
Oh, okay, yeah, Rory, yeah.
Yeah, he used to be on the now he has his own podcast.
Credentials.
Yeah, he you know Rory is credentials, but these guys.
And people might say, what gives us the credit to do music? We've been doing music for a long time.
Yeah, we have.
If you don't know, we was the Messengers and then Save On Them. That's a whole different identity. Hey, I'm Save now. But I got bangers, God. I have bangers. I have good music. Bangers. We know music. We're hip hop connoisseurs. We check our credentials. And Wellington, if he went in the church, I think he'd be one of a well-known A&R, probably a executive by now. Let's call it, because you, let's call it spade a spade. I'm giving you a foul, brother. You know music. You have an ear for music. Even some music I don't want to like, I'm like, oh, yeah.
I'll introduce it to him, and I'll be like,
yeah, it is.
Just give it a chance.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm like, oh, okay. Because, again, Wellington, all the topics are Wellington. Music is Wellington. I just talk. I just show up and talk. Wellington does 95% of everything with Full Scope. So, all the music
all the jokes,
that we...
all the jokes are safe.
Nah, Wellington. This year, Wellington, you've been over.
Now, I have been putting up some MVP numbers with Not gonna lie.
Over this year. If we ever meet J. Cole, I'm gonna show him that clip, bro.
Oh God!
Be like, hey, J. Cole, we big fans. Like,
really, man? Really, man? He was conflicted.
We love this, man. You top five to us, man.
I do want to say this though, and Future and Metro's first. We don't trust you. Some of the production credits went from a guy we used to know. Johnny Giuliano. I was like, Johnny.
Club. Hey, yo,
we used to kill.
Man, I used to go get his beat so much, man. He had so many tags in his song, man. Shook.
Johnny.
JohnnyGiuliano.com. Johnny Giuliano.
Yeah.
Man. Good times, man.
Good times.
Johnny, I haven't heard that name in so long since. since Westcom used him, the game on 100.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Oh, up Johnny Giuliano. I was like, oh Johnny, okay. I didn't know he was still producing.
That is a time machine. That is a time machine. So
absolutely, man. That just brought back so many memories. Johnny Giuliano. I want to see if he still has his website, because it's johnnygiuliano.com. Like, if you don't.
Yeah. If you don't know.
Yeah. It's johnnygiuliano.com.
An album I was going to have us review, but I might save it for next week, because I know you don't like him. Lil Yachty's Concrete Boys. It's Us Volume 1. I'm not going to say anything, but it's a vibe.
As soon as you say it's a vibe, that means it has only a few good songs.
It does have you hit it on the nail. You hit it right there. A few.
It's a vibe. A few. See, if you would have said solid, okay. You said, man, it's good. Okay. You said it's a vibe.
But that's what I think Yachty should do, more music like that instead of trying to do the rapping, because he can't do that. When he was trying to actually do the rapping tracks, when we're like, yo, that's not really your pocket. You're not like a boom bap rapper. Mm-mm. I think this is more of like his lane. I'm like, yeah, with this crew, this is what more of what Yachty does.
How many tracks are there?
16.
Okay. That's still a little long for Yachty, but
that is true. But he's got other artists on it as well. So Caribou, I want to know what you think of Caribou. Caribou, female rapper.
That sounds familiar.
Caribou's dope.
I think I've seen that on TikTok. Seen her on TikTok or something.
But yeah, we might review that one just to see. You know, we know Savon is the biggest Yachty.
but
definitely for sure. Well, that wraps it up for tonight. I'm your host, Wendy Burns. I'm the kind of our Savon Morris. Smith Will Scope. See you later.